Hey, greetings, everyone. This is Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 Radio. Hope you are doing well today. Hey, I have a really good topic for you today. I think it's going to bless you, edify you. I hope all my teachings do. Thanks for joining me today. We're going to talk today about Titus 3, verse 9, explained. Foolish questions, genealogies, and striving about the law. Let's talk about this verse. This is a common verse that is twisted out of context, twisted scripture, that sinful, worldly, corrupt, watered-down, lukewarm churchianity people and their leadership, modern pastors, they often use this verse to hide in their sin. What happens is, when I go and I preach and we're witnessing the truth, and the biblical gospel and sound doctrine exposes their churchianity, sin, false man-made traditions, and we try to call them out of it into repentance, they'll often quote this verse, Titus 3, verse 9. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. So, in using this verse in this way, they are using God's word in a total, careless, haphazard manner, and they're not rightly dividing it. I'm going to show you how they twist this verse out of context to apply it to things that have nothing to do with what that verse is discussing. Let me use another verse to show you how they are not rightly dividing the word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So quickly, within this study, let's talk about rightly dividing. Rightly dividing, that word is orthotomeo. Orthotomeo. It means make straight, cut, to dissect correctly, to the divine message, to rightly divide it. So it means to get things straight, get things right, to get things correct. Okay? Interestingly, we get our common practice in America and a lot of the established world of orthodontics. What do? They straighten teeth from being crooked. That's the same word. That's where we get ortho from. And also probably orthopedics, where they work on people's bones and things to make them straight and healthy. So in this, we could say false teachers and people that claim Christ and they're keeping sin, they're crooked. They're not straight, all right, in this manner. So think about that. Rightly dividing means to be setting the word of God straight. That's a teaching in itself right there. So for this teaching on Titus 3:9, this is also called proof texting, where they go and pull a scripture out of place. This is what proof texting means. I'm teaching you some basics to apologetics here, all right? This is what proof texting means. The practice of using quotations from a document, either for the purpose of exegesis or to establish a proposition in eisegesis, introducing one's presuppositions, agendas, or biases. So I call it scripture twisting, and you notice the word exegesis or eisegesis. So if you take a scripture verse out to use it, rightly dividing it, it's good exegesis. You're exiting the truth. If you take a scripture verse out to say, I'm going to make this prove what I want it to say, that's called eisegesis. That's the wrong way to use God's word. You can take any document, pull one or two verses or sentences out, and make it twist to your way, right? But it must match the integrity of the entire word to be valid, to be straight, to be rightly divided, right? Amen. So again, I call it scripture twisting, proof texting. It's not straight. It's a crooked way to use God's word. So always, always, saints, seek to use God's word in context and never let anyone pull God's word out of context using eisegesis, using proof texting, and don't let them blur the truth of God's word with their lies and their scripture twisting, as they will hide in their sin, convince you to stay in sin. They keep false gospels and man-made churchianity traditions, pagan holidays, Sunday's the Lord's Day, whatever system they're teaching. Let's take a look at this verse. In Titus 3:9, Paul is combating some key things, and all we have to do is look at them in detail and use good exegesis. Exit the truth and the context. The first one he mentions is foolish questions, right? So this is another interesting Greek word, moros. This is where we get the word moron from. You've heard people say, we used to use this when we were teenagers, oh, you're such a moron. It means you're a foolish person. Dumb, foolish person. It also, in the definition, means godless questions, right? So we don't entertain, we don't ask, we don't answer foolish, dumb, moronic, godless questions. I'll give you some examples. People have come up to me in the streets and say, who created God? I usually just look at them and say, are you truly a truth seeker? They're usually just mockers. Or men will say, can God create a rock so big he can't move it? Things like this. These are foolish, moronic, vain questions. Never entertain such things. Paul is saying it's vain. Don't do it. It's not fit for the kingdom of God. So the first one is foolish questions. Second, genealogies, he mentions. This is arguing over your bloodline. Oh, I'm German, I'm English, I'm Jewish, I'm Swedish. People always, throughout the ages, have always debated and argued over their bloodlines, their past relatives, their genealogy, especially the Jews in Paul's day. They took great pride that they were part of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they argued and wrangled over what tribe they were from and all these things. But you know what? As we move into the New Testament, God is not a respecter of persons. We all come by the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:17. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work. So, genealogies, don't get caught up in that. It's unimportant. Everyone can come. God calls all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17. Your bloodline is not important. The blood of Christ is the most important. Next, Paul mentions in that verse, contentions and striving about the law. Well, the Jews back then that came to faith in Messiah were often trying to impose their Torah ways on the Gentiles. Things like don't eat pork, you got to keep Saturday Sabbath, you got to wear tassels. You can go read Acts 15, and there was a council set up to deal with this and tell the Gentiles what they should and shouldn't do. Also read the whole book of Galatians. Paul refutes this, the Judaizers, over and over. So it was a common issue with Paul when he was trying to mix convert Messiah-believing Jews with pagan Gentiles coming to Christ and trying to mix them together, and they were trying to force the Gentiles to do Torah law in the New Testament body. Paul says these things he mentioned, right? Foolish questions, genealogies, contentions about the law. That's exactly the context he was talking about. They're unprofitable, they're vain, and they're useless. Now, I don't know about you, but when I witness in the streets or I street preach outside a church or I'm witnessing wherever I am, I never raise any of these points or preach on them. I don't teach people the Torah law to keep. I don't raise vain, foolish, moronic questions, and I don't strive about the law, and I don't care about anyone's genealogy. So in context, that's not what Paul was talking about at all. I stick to the gospel, I stick to sound doctrine, and modern pastors and churchianity, false, lukewarm Christians, hate it when the truth of God's word exposes their many false, pagan, feminized, wicked ways that have left the truth of Christ. And shamefully, all they can do is reach and grab for scriptures like Titus 3:9, and they try to hide behind it. But you know what? If you're a Berean and you know the scriptures and you will not be moved from it, it makes them look foolish. No, let's use the real word, moronic. It makes them look moronic. Let me give you an example. I stood out at a Baptist church and rebuked the pastor as I preached the biblical gospel and called people to biblical repentance in spirit and truth. Some man emailed me who saw me there, and he told me that I was preaching junk when I talked about, I also included talk about biblical dress, head covering, and obeying God in many of his other doctrines. This man called it junk. Well, this foolish, moronic man, all the while he was claiming Christ, in love, he got a 1 Timothy 5 rebuke to save his soul. He needed it. He got one. Don't call my father's truth junk. I won't stand for it. So, just want to encourage here in this topic, Titus 3:9. While we do need to avoid the vain things Paul noted, I hope you're not talking about genealogy. I hope you're not striving in the old Torah law. And I hope you're not asking foolish questions. This does not mean we don't contend for the truth and against all false doctrine and man-made traditions that are rampant everywhere in America and all over the globe. We are commanded to hold to sound doctrine. Go see and read the prophets. Go see and read Jesus. Go see and read John the Baptist. Go see and read Paul and Peter and all the other disciples. They contended for truth. They contended against false teachings all over the New Testament word. And none of that has anything to do with genealogies, teaching Torah law for today, or talking about foolish questions, does it? No. Go read the book of Jude. Wonderful book. Earnestly contend for the faith. And things like 1 Timothy 4:16. Apostle Paul says this, take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine. Doctrine means instruction, by the way, saints and seekers. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. This is not works-based salvation. This is the fruit that you're following Christ in his word and in his spirit is you keep sound doctrine and you will have much fruit. John chapter 15. It's the fruit you know Jesus. You keep his doctrine. I have a question for you. Imagine a police officer, a politician, a lawyer, or a judge who does not strive for the law, does not strive against all crime to uphold the law. What would you call them? Corrupt, right? There's a lot of them, right? People call them corrupt. Hey, according to that word, orthotomeo, they're crooked. That's where we get the word crooks. They don't handle things straight. They're not fair and honest. They're crooks. Crooked. Orthotomeo. Interesting. What's a follower of Christ supposed to do? Keep the truth. And if he doesn't contend for all truth and sound doctrine and holiness, would he not be crooked as well? Consider that. Isn't it interesting? You expect the police officer to arrest all criminals to protect you and your possessions. But yet, people get mad at the street preacher who contends for all truth and sound doctrine. Very, very interesting. Yes, though they would be corrupt. They're not straight, according to God's word. It is good and godly to lovingly and boldly contend for truth and sound doctrine against all sin, lies, heresy, and false ways. We are the light. We are the salt. Salt preserves. We're to preserve the truth of God and proclaim it. Light points the way. If we don't point the way out of the darkness and sin and heresy, how are truth seekers and sheep and saints going to find it? So I encourage you, as you live your life and you're obeying sound doctrine and you're interacting with other people, you may not be a street preacher or a teacher, don't let others pull Titus 3:9 out of context. Don't let them proof text it. Don't let them eisegese it on you. And they beat you up with it to silence you. No, if you're not arguing over dumb questions, if you're not arguing over genealogies, and you're not pushing Torah law on people today, you're not doing what Paul was warning against. If you are doing those things, you need to repent and stop them. But you're probably not. You're probably just, in most cases, trying to hold fast to sound doctrine, and the worldly churchianity people and modern pastors and all of the culture will tell you, you don't have to do that. They are lying. They're following the culture of Satan. He is the father of lies. 2 Corinthians 4:4, this is his world. Have you repented via the gospel, and are you following the kingdom of God? That's a good question. Check out the gospel at don'tperish.com. But if you're holding fast to holiness in your life, you're clinging to all the commandments, instructions for the New Testament word today, keep going. I encourage you. That's what my website does. It's what Sister Debbie's Sister's blog does for the ladies in the Titus 2 issues. Don't be misled by those who love their sin. They love to twist and pull verses out of context to keep their heresy and their man-pleasing false ways. Here's a good way to discern all this. When you get people that tell you, oh, you have to do that, you're doing this, you're doing that, don't have to keep this, Why don't you just test their fruit? Jesus said, we know a tree by its fruit. Look at their life. Look at how they act. Look at how they dress. Look at how they talk. Look at how they live. Look at who they associate with. And test their fruit to the saints of the New Testament word. Then it's clear to see who they're following and what they're keeping. Most times, it's not the holy written word of God. It's the influence of false doctrines, false teachers, the flesh. 2 Peter 2:1 warns about this. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring themselves swift destruction. Yes, saints, context matters. Let's be sure that we are always comparing God's word to exactly what it's teaching on in context for that situation, in detail, looking at the words, looking at the Greek or the Hebrew, looking at it rightly dividing. We don't want to be crooked. We want to be straight. Jesus said, enter through the straight way. How do we enter through the straight way? By keeping God's word straight and rightly dividing it by the Spirit. John 14, he will teach you all things. You must be born again by the gospel. Check it at don'tperish.com. Always compare God's word to its straight way teaching, not twisted out of context. This way, you're always comparing apples to apples, not apples to bananas or kumquats. To do that, to use God's word not rightly divided and be comparing it out of context, we would be foolish. No, we would be moronic. I don't want you to be that for God's glory. I want you to be straight. I want you to be in truth. I want you to walk in spirit and truth. I want you to rightly divide the word of God. It's why I strive. It's why we travel and street preach full time. It's why we're lifting up Christ crucified in his word and his ways. He is the only straight way to the Father. I encourage you to repent of all your false ways, fleshly ways, worldly ways, churchianity ways. Seek Christ today. We are here to help you. I hope that's edified you today. Thanks for listening. More teachings to come. More videos and witnessing from the road. We're here to edify you every day. We love you. We love God. Let us know how we can help you. If you want daily discipleship, one-on-one, Hebrews 3:13, edification, contact us. Let us see if we have unity in the faith, and we're here for you. If you just want to follow along online and learn as you go, you can do that too. Click the daily edification tab at don'tperish.com. We're pouring out as God gives us the will, the strength, and the ability to do it. We plan on doing it till the day we are leaving this world, till they throw us in jail, till they silence us, or till we're called home to be with the Father. Hey, till next time, go out and have a glorious day. Hold fast to the straight word of God, and may God be praised.